Drew, do you have any questions before we start?
Nope.
Okay. And a one and a two. Oh, dude, hold on. My balls are so sweaty. And a one and a two and a one, two. My voice is gone, and welcome to another guitarist getting geeked up on grungy golem gigs while going to the ground level to do a little ground and pound on some grown men in the pit. Uncle Gary went to a Gojira show with nothing but Gatorade and Gushers. Episode of the Days Grim, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Brian Michael Day.
My name is Thomas Grimm.
And I am Drew Head.
Dude, tighten it up. Tighten it up. That's all I got to say. Just get on in his ass. As soon as he says his name, your name, dude.
I'm all about being tight.
Dude,
so.
In his ass. What's up, Drew? How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just drinking this gross
concoction.
Whiskey.
Don't say gross whiskey.
I'm sure it's fantastic for people who like whiskey.
Yeah,
I do not.
That's a disposition towards Japanese people. And I'll tell you what, dude. Honestly, shout out to K-Row because they're crushing it.
Brought to you by Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, brought to you by the USS Arizona. no, dude. I'm pumped to be here, man. I'm having a great day. My voice is gone. I'm going to talk less than normal, but... Tom, if you could do me a favor.
Joining us this week in the Days Grim shoebox is Tyler Brown. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
TYB. What up, son?
It's been 2 years.
Yeah. Has it been 2 years?
It's been 2 years.
Hey, do you guys have pubic hair?
When I don't shave it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
But do you have this weird spot right here where there's no hair?
Yeah, I got that.
Do you have pubic hair? On the inside of your leg, there's hair?
Yeah.
As of recently, last week, no.
No, so you're a shaver? You shave it down?
He uses Nair.
So here's my question, dude. I was thinking about this the other day, dude. Drew, do you have pubic hair?
A little too much of it.
Nice, dude. Fucking nice. So he's not shaving. No, my question is, I was thinking about it the other day. I was shaving my ween. Do you guys shave shaft?
Yeah.
Do you shave shaft, Tyler?
It's risky.
But yeah, do you though?
Sometimes it has to be done.
Yeah, you got to knock it down, dude. Yeah. I feel like it's a thing. How old are you again, Tyler? 31. I feel like it didn't happen to me until I was like, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, Drew, so just take
it. I know where you're going with this. Farther and farther up.
You can discuss this.
Yeah. It's like back hair, but on your dude, I have the most aggressive hair.
Yeah.
Dude, I have been shaving my shaft like a fucking...
I feel like the hair on the lower part of my shaft goes up farther than the hair on the upper part.
It does, dude. Is that for you too?
Man, I haven't really looked at...
We're doing a lot of talk, but no, I just...
You had me like thinking about it, so it's like...
Yeah.
You're like, rewind to the last.
Well, no. This is a very aggressive topic. Also, I am inebriated, so that's why it came up. But also, I did think about it while I was sober for the show. I did want to bring it up because, like, I was just shaving my ween the other day, dude. Just shaving it down, getting it nice and slick and smooth, just fucking ready to go. But I'm at the point now to where I shave the shaft business and the balls and everything, and then I just leave the upstairs. So I got like a small brush going on. Does anybody else do that?
No.
Okay.
All right. If I'm shaving it at all.
You're going all the way down.
Like a little. I'm not gonna say.
Don't
that.
Do that. All right, dude. So TYB, what's up, man? AKA Onyx.
Yeah, I have a stage name now. Onyx.
Like what's the that? What's that like?
Well, weird. It's whenever you see somebody that has a different alias, you're like, oh, that person's cool. But when you have one, you're just like, what the hell is this?
Where'd this come from?
Yeah.
Strange, dude.
And the reason how I came up with that name was one day I was listening to Slam, da 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 da, and I was just like, oh, okay. Onyx. Like, there's my stage name.
Oh, yeah.
Onyx. And then the drummer in the band, my band, was like, oh, that's a Pokemon. And I was like, oh.
It. Pokemon is sick, just for the record.
It's a rock Pokemon, though. It's like a warm rock Pokemon.
You were talking a little bit about the band now. So the last time you were on, you were a part of a different band. You're with now Symphony of Heaven.
Yes.
Symphony of Heaven.
Of Heaven.
Of Heaven. I can't hit that falsetto right now because I sound like fucking a 40-year chain smoker.
But symphony, you think of a lot of like stringed instruments. Are there anything other than like a guitar and bass that's like out of the ordinary?
I did produce some symphonic for the new single. I did produce it, and I put some actual orchestras in there.
What does symphonic mean?
The orchestras.
Orchestral?
Yeah, that.
Okay. Sick, dude. Yeah. Oh, and we got your page pulled up here, dude. You guys have some sick fucking art, man. Hold on, can you scroll down just a little bit so I can see the full picture? Dude, that is fucking sick.
Mm-hmm.
God, dude.
Did you mix and master this single as well?
I didn't mix and master it. We had that sent off. But almost everything besides vocals was my bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
From the last experience, talking about that, it was rough the first go at it with Forthright, but this time around, it was just like, whew, I fucking got this.
Shout out to Forthright, because they're still doing good.
So did you get kicked from the band?
No, I quit.
You quit?
Yeah, I just tapped out.
You were just like, I'm going to go do this Christian thing?
Yeah, I fell to the
You were like, I want some wine and crackers?
Yeah, exactly. I need to, no, yeah, no. No, it was more of a just like, you know, with Forthright. Some wine too.
Dude, hold on. Can we go back to the top of the website, please? This picture reminds me of this guy right here. This reminds me of like a vagabond in like Belgium, like during the bombings of World War II. That's just where my brain's at. Is anybody else where I'm at right now, or no? Is that just me?
To me, that just looks like a dude like in a shitty era of time. That's sad.
Definitely World War II era. Yeah. So is there any like story behind this art here?
There is. But the lead singer in my band would be he has this whole thing constructed where this guy named Nicholas Farrell. I don't even know if I should be saying this, but oh well.
We'll talk about it later if we should bleep it out.
Well, anyway, there's this mythology of this guy named Nicholas Farrell, and it was the whole concept, and I'm oblivious to it because I don't really care about lyrics. And I was just like, as long as the music sounds good, fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah,
you can say what you want.
Dude, does this riff go fucking hard or not, dude?
You spoke about it being a Christian band. Yeah. Did you know the lead singer of Creed was a Christian?
Yeah, look how that turned out.
And he was talking about how he was like the band members started putting it together that they were like kind of Christian-esque lyrics, you know? And they're like, dude, this isn't us, man. We're supposed to be rock stars. Yeah. We're out here like doing rails of coke and hookers, you know?
Not talking about baby Jesus in a manger.
Right.
Take me higher. Also, shout out to Creed. They're doing a comeback tour. So, dude, Creed was my shit when I was younger.
Everybody loved Creed.
Dude, if you didn't love Creed, fuck you.
Exactly.
That's where I'm at. Did you like Creed, Tom?
Yeah, I loved Creed.
Do you know who Creed is?
I do.
You a fan or no?
The only song I could name is the
With Arms Wide Open.
Take me higher. That's a good one, dude. That's a good one for real. Creed was my tits. What was a weird transition? What was the weirdest transition you've had going from Forthright to Symphony of Heaven?
Musically, honestly, it's more my style, and this is the main reason why.
A little heavier.
Yeah, heavier, and you know, has the orchestra elements. That's my shit. Black metal is my favorite genre of all time.
Serial killer stuff. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So music wise, it was easier to transition. The weirdest part is the Christian aspect. And I'm just like, it's like, for me, it's just like, okay, like I'm doing the music I want in the Midwest, but there's a catch, there's that, which these guys in my band are so cool. Like I've hung out with them before I was in the band. It's like, okay, these guys are cool. They're not preachy, culty. It's like, okay, these guys are, they're worthy to be in a band with.
Yeah.
And, but I've played festivals with them, and yeah, walking around, it's just like, whoa, like, look where I'm at.
Is there a picture of you guys as a group on your website?
Yeah, right there.
There we go.
And that's Eero, the guy in the middle, right by me. He is the former guitar player. I now replaced him, but he's from Finland. It was very hard to understand him at times. Very Finnish.
Shout out to Scandinavia, dude. Yes. They're fucking crushing the metal.
They are, yeah.
They've been crushing the metal for decades.
Yeah, so I have to replace a fucking Finnish guy, which is just like asking.
Not good for you.
It's not good for me. Like, it's not. I'm fucked.
They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of talent.
Have you learned stuff from him, though?
Oh, yeah. I'm very lucky that I can play what he plays. He's an exceptionally good guitar player, and Yeah, I was the guy who got the job done and killed it. So,
have you seen the name, or like, have you? Do you know where he's from in Finland?
Helsinki. Helsinki, Finland, the capital. Yeah, yeah,
that's too easy.
What's the most populated area?
Have you seen some of the names of towns in Finland and Sweden? They're, dude, they're like 19 vowels. Just look up Sweden. Look up Sweden as a country or Finland as a country. They have some town names that are. They have 19 vowels in the name of the town. And you're like, how do I say this? And there's dots and dashes and helixes and all kinds of fucking... Okay, now you're going to call me a liar. No, yeah, look at this. Like, Jvansklakalala. Yeah, dude. Dude, so shout out to all those people. They were made for metal. Seriously.
Very dry humor, too.
Yeah, a lot of good metal has come out of Scandinavia in the best. The last couple decades.
The best.
Like, does he call bass or bass?
Bass.
He calls it bass.
Bass?
Yeah. Da bass.
Yeah.
I find a lot of Europeans call it bass.
That's true. We've talked to a couple people where they're like, yeah. They call it bass.
Is their accent poking through, or is it just ass with a B on it? Bass.
Something's poking through. Yeah. No, seriously, though.
Poking out the non-circumcision?
Yeah, who was it that we were talking to that was like...
I don't know. I know a few people in Europe that say bass. I really like the bass in that song.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
You mean bass? And also his name's Little Wayne, so fucking tighten up. Not little. No, dude. So you've been out for a couple of years, man. So how have you been doing holding up? You know, how long have you been with this new project now?
About a year.
About a year now?
About a year. I played my first show with them actually 2 years ago. They needed to fill in for a bass player, so I filled in. And I hung out with them, and I was like, hey, these guys are really cool, you know? Like, for Christians, these dudes are cool.
Yeah, dude.
And we listened to all the same music and everything and started hanging out with them more and... You know, from a musical perspective, it made sense.
So you're converting to Christianity now. And that's good to hear, man, because Christianity has a lot of good values in it. So good for you. Seriously, I'm proud of you. You've come a long way, Tyler Brown.
I live a life of sin still. I live a life of sin.
Dude, honestly, I'm not friends with people that don't sin. So that's where I'm at. So you do remember the deaths of the week.
Yes.
Plural, because we've done about 140 of them.
Yeah, that's a pretty popular topic. And, you know,
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Before we jump into it, Drew, real quick, do you guys like water? You're on stage a lot. You're like, you have to pound water.
Yeah.
You're sweaty.
Electrolytes, water. Yeah,
you're drinking tequila.
Got all the stage lights.
You drink a lot of water, Tom?
Sure.
Maybe. Drew?
Yeah.
Have you heard of water?
I've heard of it. I dabble in water.
I dabble in the H2O. Drew, do me a favor, and let's upset some people.
Mm-hmm.
The death of the week.
This week's death of the week, Indiana. I was wondering how long I could go with that. I can't do it. Indiana mom dies of water toxicity after drinking too much water on vacation. : Family. Here we go. Drew, scroll on down. Let's get into it. 35-year-old Indiana mother died of water toxicity after drinking too much water during a recent vacation. Her family said. The family is now looking to raise awareness and prevent what happened to from happening to others. It happened over the 4th of July holiday weekend. Quote, she went boating all weekend and got severely dehydrated, end quote, aka fucking trashed. And if you're on a boat, that's probably what you're doing. Her brother, Devon Miller, posted. So we go on, and then here's an actual post. I can't even believe I'm writing this. My sister, who lives in Indiana, was pronounced dead. Drew, can you zoom in just a baby hair? Pronounced dead yesterday afternoon. Her brain swelled to the point that it cut off circulation to her blood supply in the brain. All this happened apparently from water toxicity. She went boating all weekend and got severely dehydrated, aka intoxicated, on Tuesday, and she drank a lot of water, parentheses, at 1.4 bottles in less than 30 minutes. All this caused her brain tissue to start swelling. By Tuesday evening, she was unconscious. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't. She was unconscious. Scroll down. And I think there's some more down here. Drew, please. And then, so left behind with two, or so the woman left behind two daughters, both under the age of 10, and her husband, her brother wrote, it goes on and gets really sad from here. Basically, here's what happened, guys. Lady goes out on a boat, gets really, really trashed, gets off of said boat, goes to their little lake house, and then just starts pounding water because her mouth is dry. Pounding water. He said up to 4 bottles in 1 hour. And I've read some other articles on this. She continued to drink more water. Like, it was at that rate for a long time. She was doing 4 bottles of water an hour for like multiple hours, and then wound up passing away, or, you know, losing consciousness and then passing away. And then I looked up some other stuff, and there are actually, and Drew, you could Google this to prove me wrong, but there were like some challenges going around, like the 75 hard that you were doing, and then some other stuff going around where it was saying like, you need to drink more water. And like, some people have been admitted to hospitals due to like TikTok challenges and like 75 hard, drink more water stuff. But essentially, water can be good for you, however, at a rate. You know what I mean? And this lady exceeded that rate. So
they say you get most of the water you need from what you eat anyways.
Yeah, there's moisture content in everything that you eat.
And plastic nowadays.
So what is the water challenge? Staying hydrated is important. Oh, aim to drink 1 or more glasses of water than you normally would each day for 30 days.
Drew, you should look this up. I think you actually consume a credit card's worth of plastic like a week. Where is it? A month. Yeah.
Yeah, but for the water challenge, there was a bunch of different definitions. But I'm sure TikTok made some stupid shit where you drink an insane amount of water.
Yeah, you probably chug a gallon in 45 seconds for the real.
There's no way I eat a credit card's worth of plastic on average in a day. Is that
not, it's not a day. It's either a week or a month.
A week or a month? Hold on. Let's see what's going on here, dude. On average, people could be ingesting around 5 grams of plastic every week, which is the equivalent weight of a credit card. Our study suggests that people could be consuming on average over 100,000 microplastics every year. That's approximately 21 grams a month, just over 250 grams a year. Dicey shit, dude.
Yep.
Dicey,
but honestly,
where are you at on the water, dude? I want to know about the water.
What do you mean?
The lady, dude.
Where am I at on that?
Yeah, dude.
I mean,
have you ever been so drunk where you get back to the house and you're like, I just need fucking water?
Drunk? No. Yeah. Under other influences? Yeah.
Nice.
We're in Indiana, so I can't say what.
Nice.
But, yeah, I mean,
so you got to be careful. That's
partially her fault.
You think so?
Yeah, because I feel like if your brain tissue starts swelling, maybe go to the hospital. Don't keep chugging water.
Well, she doesn't know. She doesn't know.
You wouldn't be able to tell?
You don't think he'd get a headache or something?
You might get a headache, but you're not.
But you also get a headache when you're dehydrated, so she probably thought.
It might have been ongoing, like a persisting headache. Where are you at on this water situation, TYB?
She was probably going with the headache thing. Probably was, you know, coming down from having a hangover. Chug a lot of water, get rid of that feeling, and just overdid it. And she started feeling like crap, and she probably thought she was still drunk and just didn't know any better and just kept chugging and chugging and chugging.
Did you get a hangover last week enjoying that Florida
weather? Oh, yeah. You went on vacation.
Yeah.
How was that?
Great. Yeah. Gulf Shores. Evansville was a beach.
Yeah, dude. Dad's down there now.
Yeah.
Your dad moved down to
Gulf Shores. Dad moved down to Gulf Shores. Retired and moved down to the Gulf Shores.
He tapped out on Indiana.
Here's the fun... Funny, going back to the death of the week, hear this.
Hell
shit.
Yeah.
All right, Friday night, my stepsister works at the Jimmy Buffett sister's restaurant, Lulu's. We had dinner there Friday night. I had a cheeseburger. No shit. The next day, you know what happened. Jimmy Buffett died. Friday, the day of, I was eating a cheeseburger at his sister's restaurant, and the next day, that night, he died. Crazy. I'm forever connected with Jimmy.
It's because you didn't go to Margaritaville. It's,
you know what?
You that pissed off the Jimmy Buffett gods.
Margaritaville moved, died out of Evansville years ago.
I know. That hate that. I went there for my junior high, like a junior high ball dance thing, like where you like take all your dates out and say it wasn't prom, but it was like whatever prom is for junior high kids. I went there. I remember that, dude. It was good times. But then also, so did you know that Toby Keith has skin cancer?
Toby Keith does?
Yeah, bro.
No.
Pull up a picture of Toby Keith real quick. He looks like shit.
Seriously?
I found this out when Jimmy Buffett died.
Fuck this cancer patient.
Look up a picture. Yeah, look at him right here. With
stomach cancer battle.
Oh, sorry. Stomach cancer.
Yeah. Skin cancer is like...
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett had skin cancer. Sorry.
Whoa. Is that him?
Yeah, it's him, bro.
Oh, my God.
He's going through a hard fucking time right now.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I didn't know either until I found out about Jimmy Buffett dying. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Keith, 61, is currently undergoing chemotherapy and immunotherapy.
Hey, yes, immunotherapy. And he's talking about going on tour this fall. So shout out to fucking Toby Keith crushing.
Yes. Shout out.
That dude is snapping dicks.
So what was it like when you performed your first gig with this new band? Like, was it in a church or...
Well, the first time as an official member, it was at a Christian festival.
There you go.
And overall, it went pretty well.
What was that like, Christian festival? A lot of crucifixes out there?
Yeah, there was.
Fuck
you know.
Yeah, dude.
Was that like in the crowd? Like people with crucifixes?
Jesus body surfing or like crowd surfing on a crucifix?
I kind of, like in this role in this band, I kind of like, I want to be that like guy. I mean, obviously I'm on a podcast right now, but I want to keep myself as low key as possible in this band because I'm the one who joined this band. So I have to be respectful. It's like, hey, like I'm doing this for, you know, musical endeavors, not for like any like personal, like religious things or like, right. I don't have that agenda. So, but at the same time, they're letting me be me. So I'm just like, oh, okay. So, you know, sometimes in the group chat, I let some heathen slips.
You let a JC out.
Cut a JC out in front
of some Christians.
Yeah.
So what was the
Christian band event that you performed at for the first time?
It's called Pit Fest.
Where's that at?
Kokomo.
Kokomo,
like the beat, like the Beach Boys. Kokomo.
I know a girl that lives up in Kokomo. She got, she had a baby. She got pregnant. But just a fun fact. But yeah, she lives up in Kokomo. It's a friend of mine. But no, that's cool. So what are some of the differences between like a quote like a Christian metal band versus just a regular like metal band?
I would just say lyrics and like
is it just lyrics?
Oh yeah, lyrics. Honestly, lyrics and. They play this music for the Lord, and I always find that I was just like, oh, okay, that's cool, like playing music for the Lord, and I'm doing it to have fun and, you know, do my passion. But I guess that's the difference between me and, like, you know, any other Christians you meet, they do everything for the Lord.
Have you got to meet like any of these other bands like that are semi like what you got? Skillet, you have POD,
yeah, Creed.
Yeah, you've got Creed, but you
going
got,
on
like,
tour
a,
soon, guys. So get your tickets
like,
now.
We Came as Romans.
Yeah,
were any of those like any of these concerts?
No. I would say we're not that big yet. We're not big Christian. We're not big Christian band yet.
Okay.
No, but a band called Disciple was there, and they're, you know,
yeah, they're big.
We played show with them. Yeah,
that's like cool.
Disciple. What do you think about? Do they talk about some of their influences or? Do you have influences that may have been Christian, like going into your music? So like for me, just as an example, like a hard screamo metal band that I really, really, really like that went mainstream for a long time ago, 2008, 2009, 10, 11, 12.
Flyleaf?
No, Under Oath. A lot of people don't know that Under Oath.
Yeah, Under Oath was Christian.
They're a Christian band, but their shit goes fucking so hard. So are there some bands where you like look at are Christian that you draw into your music or maybe that they have talked to you about and they're like, hey, we're really like into Flyleaf or like.
No, they're not. Okay. We're in the
Flyleaf's too
a bit,
soft.
A bit too soft.
Yeah, there we go. for the course.
The bands that they're influenced by, which I had never heard of them until, you know, they showed me them. There's a band called A Hill to Die Upon. I think that's the band name. And
I know Hill to Die Upon.
Yeah. Impending Doom. Oh no, that was for me personally. That was a Christian, like big Christian death metal band.
Really?
That toured with Whitechapel and all these other death metal bands. But Yeah, Impending Doom. There's another black metal band called Crimson Moonlight, or Crimson Moonlight. They show me them. They're really cool.
Fuck yeah.
So I didn't know this whole underground like Christian thing was
it's a thing, dude.
At first when I joined this band, like my friends were just like, "You're in a Christian black metal band? Isn't that like a Nazi? Isn't that the equivalent of a Nazi Jew?"
Yeah.
And I was just like, huh? Like it's like.
I'm going to be honest with you. I thought you were trying to say oxymoron. No, no, and then you were like, Nazi. I was like, don't worry, I'll correct him. And he was like, no, Nazi Jew.
Yeah. It's like, isn't that like a Nazi Jew, Christian black metal? Because I was just like, well.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close. That's what's happening here, guys. Things are going great. Yeah. Do you feel out of sorts sometimes, or like maybe out of place, or I don't know, maybe not with your band, but like with the venues that you're playing at? Like, do you ever feel like
it comes with the territory, man? That's where the professionalism comes in. You know, yeah. A venue's a venue, and people are people. And you can come up and talk to me about your beliefs, and I'm gonna say, hey, I respect that. That's cool. Thank you for enjoying the music.
Yeah.
I'm glad to play in front of you, but I am not the person you want to talk to about that, religious stuff. My beliefs are elsewhere. And
I think that's a very professional way to look at it, man, because you can look at a lot of, and I wish politics were like that. God damn, dude. But there's like, you find politics in everything now.
Exactly.
Like certain podcasts lean one way or the other, and then or whatever, or musicians, or what have you, magicians,
magicians are
Going on set. Well, did you not know that?
No.
Yeah, magicians are being like politicized now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. David Blaine, he's on the hot seat. But what I'm getting at is that, like, I just wish it was more about the craft and less about biases.
That's where my approach was. And also, I go what you're talking about. There's so much just divisive and bullshit in this world.
Yeah.
And you have to be the person you want to be. Like, you have to set that standard for yourself. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I have different beliefs, but it's not going to like stop me from pursuing my craft, pursuing some life experiences, hanging out with cool people. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, well, I tried.
Yeah.
And it's a new life experience, and I can tell stories about it. That's literally worst case scenario.
That's a good way to That's a good way to live life. I feel like, man, just like we all have flaws. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We all have like. I did this, but also I think that. And then I'm thinking about, like, just live your life and do the best that you can in the moment that you're in, and treat everybody with a little bit of fucking goddamn decency.
Exactly.
We should be fine.
What's it like being in two different bands? You know what I mean? Like, because you're in a Christian band and then you're in, like, a non-Christian band, right?
I play guitar, so it doesn't
matter. Get, like, the music kind of mixed up at all?
No. Like, the only difference is lyrics, really. Like... of course, there's different styles, and with symphony, it's the style that I'm most attracted to. So I'm just not only that, but it's such a niche style. It's very European, Scandinavian style of heavy metal, and finding that in the Midwest is just like, whoa! I have to take advantage of this.
Well, not too many people from the Midwest have been to Europe, like your brother.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a situation where I had to like fully take advantage of to be like, okay, this is like. I need to play the style of music to fill this void in my life, or else if I, didn't do it, I'd be like the shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Right? Aren't you filling in for your brother's band every now and then?
Yeah. Whenever they play a show, like once
that's
in a while.
Fucking sick. Dude.
It's Aegean is a very Aegean's a very our drummer just moved to L.A. The bass player is in Florida, and the singer has three kids now, and me and my brother lives right down the road. And me and him are just no kids, musically just active all the time.
Just doing your best.
We're just doing our best.
As God intended.
Yes, as God intended.
I wonder, like, it's becoming more and more common now where people are, like, composing through the Ethernet.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it baffles me that it used to be, like, five guys in your hometown have an extraordinary amount of talent. And then those five guys musically like start their own projects or do their own thing. And then eventually when the sun sets just right and when God rolls the dice and this guy meets that guy, Jimmy Page breaks up from the Yardbirds and he meets fucking Robert Plant. You know what I mean? When these things align just right, those guys from that same general area create the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
Right place, right time.
That's how it used to be. And now you're finding these bands that are like, hey, I just wrote this fucking sick bass riff. Let me send it over to you. So, like, do you think that's better or worse for the musical industry now? Do you think that there was a certain... Now, the intuition is, like, it makes more sense to do it that way. It should be better. But do you think there's... Are we losing something by not having that hometown growth? Or, like, that happenstance growth?
To a degree, yes. Honestly, yes. Because you cannot replace being... Seeing five people, four people, how many members are in your band a week, getting together and...
Physically.
Yeah, physically getting together and building a relationship through music. You cannot replicate that, even if you just send files over the internet. Yeah. Yes, that's very convenient, sending files over the internet. Because
it's efficient.
Yeah, we're all about convenience, you know, in the modern world. You know, convenience, instant gratification, we're all about that. But you can't replicate that chemistry of getting in a room and building a musical trust with people. Nothing can replace that, and that's where the true magic happens. That's what Forthright had. And Symphony, we don't practice as often because, you know, the drummer lives in Indianapolis. Yeah. And that's something I do really miss, is getting together weekly and building a musical connection.
Do you think there's musical connection that could be made, or like a bond that could be made by just like looking at each other full frontal nude? I don't know. I think about that often too. No?
I have to see the calluses on your fingers.
Okay, that
checks out. See, that tells me how good you are.
I just feel like there's a certain bond there, dude.
Yeah, I'll take calluses. Or dick.
Yeah, whatever, but, dude. I was in the army for a little bit, so that's how I built my trust. It's like, let me see that dick. No, dude, that's really, really interesting. So the drummer's from Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. The guitarist that you replaced but also still is with the band. What is he doing?
Oh, he's not really in the band anymore.
He's not?
He moved back to Finland.
So he's in Finland.
Yes.
But he's not with the band anymore. So is he not helping at all? Or?
Oh, the new EP, you know, he wrote a song that we're going to, you know, he contributed to it.
Okay, and where's the singer from?
Owensville, Gibson County.
So close.
Yeah. He's close, like 30 minutes away.
And then the bass player.
MIA. We don't have one right now.
Okay. That's a common trend now.
No, it's a common trend for the bands that I'm in. Yeah.
That was, I think, the last time we interviewed. Yeah. You were like, also, we don't have a bass player.
Well, like, I joined Symphony being the bass player. Ira moved back to Finland. Oh, you're a guitar now. Good. Well, I wanted to play guitar anyway.
Some shuffling. So are you on the headhunt for a bass player?
Yeah, headhunt. Yeah. Okay, so. I mean, nothing new.
No. So if you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube, like, some prime opportunity here. And you guys have some solid shit, dude. And it would be easy for a bass player to just plug right into that.
So, yeah, we have our shit together as far as that.
You still doing it the same way you do with Forthright, where like you're backing pre-recording
track. No, we've had fill-ins, right? We have for the upcoming show we have a fill-in for it, and the last two shows we played we had a fill-in for.
What's that like, trying to find a fill-in, and then you got to teach them your music, or you just like, hey, slap the chord?
We teach them the music, and you know, try to not throw him to the lion's den because he's a Christian.
Right. Next guy's name must have been David. No, just...
Hold on, are all the fill-ins Christians?
So far,
they have to be.
So
that's
far.
A prerequisite, guys. So if you're, far, if you're thinking about applying for Symphony for
any
Heaven.
Any Christians out there who shred bass, fucking download some tabs off their website. Which, by the way, is super cool that you guys just have.
Oh,
the tabs for your songs.
Yeah, you can thank Logan, the guitar, or Pathos is a stage name. You can thank him for that.
I love that. Yeah, because it is often that I'll find a smaller group, or I'm really big into like bluegrass lately, and like some like off name like Zach Bryan country.
Have you
artists.
Ever heard of this guy named Oliver Anthony?
Yeah, I know.
Have you ever heard of him?
God, dude, where's he from?
Somewhere in Richmond.
He's south of Richmond, or south of Washington. I promise you that. That song that he blew up with. Yeah. Did you hear this, Thomas? The Richmond north of Richmond?
I think so.
That was everywhere. How could he not hear it?
You heard about this, right, Drew?
That fucking ginger dude who blew up?
Dude, honestly, I still don't trust him.
Oh, yeah, that ginger fucking...
You don't blow up like that out of nowhere.
I don't trust him because he has red hair mostly, but also he
blew up. It's got to be some kind of industry plant or some shit.
It has to be.
There's no way.
And like, it'd be one thing if he blew up like that, but then like 2 days after that video came out, he was like putting on a concert with a bunch of people. You can't organize that and like...
It was there, so fast.
That had to have been...
Jamie Johnson played on stage with him in a duet. Like, dude, you don't... It. I don't know, man.
This is a sleeper cell in the music industry.
But it's when you find... It's like when you find people like Oliver Anthony, mm-hmm. you know that's not even his real name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Chad.
Why the fuck did he pick Oliver Anthony?
This is his grandpa or something.
Or his grandfather's yeah. name.
Yeah. You want to know what my great, 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 dude, great this is grandfather's
a good,
name was?
This is such a good tie-in. Oh, let's talk about your family. You did a genetics test.
So my grandpa, like his dad, like killed himself when he was two.
Oh shit.
And so like his grandparents raised him. And so like he didn't he's yeah. like, I don't know anything about yeah. my dad and all this stuff when we were hanging out this
Can you
weekend.
Pull up my text messages, Drew, from Tom?
So I'm like going and so I'm like looking up online trying to find stuff about his dad. There's nothing out there. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this ancestry trial, right? And so I find out, like, you know, whatever, and I actually find one of his cousins that he didn't know he had still here, right? And I go, and I'm looking at my mom's dad's side of the family, right? And I'm hopping down the family tree, right? And I find that this, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, his dad's name was, like, John C. Curtis or some shit, right? Yeah. But his dad's name was Little Barry Curtis.
Yeah, it's hot.
And then
that's a hot name.
This lovely Love Inman who is on screen right now is his mom.
I can't stop laughing at that picture.
He just saw a ghost, bro.
Right.
He yeah. is a ghost, fucking and he also just saw a ghost.
Thomas's six times great grandmother is a fucking cave painting.
She's a cross-eyed Indian from West Virginia.
So hold on. This is going to sound so fucking bad, the question I'm about to ask. Is this a man or a woman?
It's a woman.
Oh, that's your grandma.
She's yeah. looking away from the camera.
Dude,
she's got a lazy eye.
Oh, dude, she might have. Do you think she had autism like you do?
At the same point in time, is this like a long exposure or a drawing? It you looks, know,
this looks like
you
in
can
the end,
see like
is this
pixels.
A long exposure or a drawing?
I mean, seriously, this is in like 1760 something.
I mean, it really does. It looks like a. cave painting.
It took him.
It looks like a Neanderthal cave.
You
painting.
Should have seen her husband. He looked straight up like a pilgrim.
It took them 9 minutes to take this photo.
See that kind of worries me because the fact that she's Native American and he's a pilgrim, she may not have had a choice. He might have R-worded his way in.
Oh,
there.
You can say it. We bleep it out. Yeah, back right. to back right there. Just real quick, three times. It's the trifecta.
One more for good luck.
So you have native in you.
Yeah, somewhere. You know, I never knew the Indian was in my blood, you know, but I guess it is now.
Dude, so it's really funny. I don't even remember how we got to his heritage, but you brought it up.
I did?
Yeah, somehow.
I don't know. Have you ever looked into your heritage?
My mom did, and yeah, I'm white as hell.
Damn, you might be Scandinavian.
No, I know. Well, maybe like small, but I'm mostly English, Irish, some German in there.
That's pretty white.
On my mom's side, yeah. But on my dad's side, we're like, we haven't got far, but it's, you know, most likely
the name change in your family history?
No, I didn't go that
far. A lot
far.
Of them change their name when they hit the US.
Yeah, we talked about that with your family cuz it used to be in Germany cuz they were all Nazis or I'm not sure, but they were all Krim at that point back then, his family.
Mm-hmm.
And Krim. then they moved here and changed their last name to Grimm as opposed to Krim. Grimm.
Grimm's way cooler.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not like a part of the English Grimm, which is probably a common misconception.
There's like a Grimm in the Wales, I think, is another.
Like the Brothers Grimm. Yeah. That was a Grimm is a popular name in Wales. Like
right.
In
and then like if you like look at like what the last name is normally like something related to what they did, like I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess my ancestors were like prostitutes or something because last name is Head.
Yeah, gypsies. They were just blowing people on the side of the road. Do you think they called it Head back then?
I don't know. I wonder what the origin of.
Oh, here we go.
A deep dive into the last name Head. What is.
I was going to look up the origin of like blowjob. Head.
Oh, I like that too. I like that. But while you're looking that up, so your last name Brown is very English.
Very, very pro anal in the Christian world.
I don't think that's true.
Fifth base?
It's the loophole.
The loophole.
It's the loophole, yeah.
Oh, that is a loophole for
fuck
Christians?
Fuck me in the ass because yeah, I love Jesus.
Yeah, it's that a great song.
Sounds good.
Have you never heard that song?
No.
You never had that one like person you heard in high school that was like religious and they had sex, but they didn't have sex, and that was what they always did. You didn't have that. There was always that rumor in high school when I went.
What'd we find, dude? What'd you find, Drew?
So I found the origin of blowjob, which apparently, when British soldiers in England were propositioned by prostitutes, like during World War II, they would call it like going to blow off steam, and that was just shortened to
blowing
blowjob.
Yeah, man, I just blew off.
It makes too much sense.
I'm not.
It does make a lot of sense.
It makes too much sense.
I don't see anything about giving head.
Well, right? Head and neck, you know, because it's like neck, head. It's like the general region where my penis is about to go. Makes sense. No, that's wonderful. I'm very colorful. But I wonder if
they did it out of just pride for World War II.
Like for the team.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, freeing us. Let us blow off some steam.
You know, Belgians were just fucking losing their mind.
They got good waffles, though.
You know, we walked into Belgium, right?
No.
The U.S. walked into Belgium. Or no. Do I have that backwards?
Belgium walked into us?
No.
I don't think anybody's touched us.
No. It was either the Nazis walked into Belgium or
the Nazis just walked into France.
Yeah, we walked into Belgium. Poland. And no one... This is Nazi-occupied Belgium. And you can Google me to verify, but like Nazi-occupied Belgium, which is basically just like Germany's ugly cousin.
Because I'm shitty that we lost the bid on that Hitler coaster.
Dude, honestly, step your game up.
I know. I just needed a couple more $1,000.
We need to come in hotter next time. But no, Nazi-occupied Belgium, basically Germany's ugly cousin. They speak German. You know, they're German people. There's just another country. But whenever it was occupied, we walked into that country expecting, like, when we broke the lines of the country, we were like, oh, dude, we're ready for a fight. We're ready for a fucking fight. And there were no fucking Germans there. Like, the Belgian soldiers that were fighting on behalf of the Nazis just, like, caved in, and they were like, sup, guys? Like, and they, like, we walked into town square, and they just, like, threw parades for us. Like, we took Belgium like it was nobody's fucking business. Like, we owned that shit for no reason. For no reason.
What's the craziest thing you've seen at a Christian concert so far?
Oh, do they get wild?
Well, I wouldn't say it's crazy, but when we played, this is just a good funny story, a local funny story. We played a show at La Masca like 2 months ago, and the opening band had a fog machine, thick one at that, like nice thick fog.
I like a thick boy.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, milky thick fog.
Yeah. Hell yeah, milky as
and
fog. Dude.
He had it keyed up to where like every time like the song would hit, it would just, and so it was opening band and set off the fire alarms. Just fogging up the whole, you know, bar, like just fogging it the hell up.
Did it shut your show down?
Well, like me and I was in the back, you know, kind of like laughing at the whole situation. Yeah. I'm not a part of this.
This fog or the fact that there's a Christian band playing inside La Masca.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of like fire alarms going off and I was in the back with my brother by the soundboard and just laughing like, oh, what the hell is going on? This felt like a movie. And then, you know, Amy came up like yelling at my brother, what the hell's going on? And my brother's like, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know. He's right there. And just like,
we're burning this bitch down, dude.
And I was just like, this feels like a movie right now. Like,
burning this motherfucker down, man.
That was like one of the crazier things that have happened.
Do Christians mosh?
Yeah, they do.
Fuck yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. Also, following up tailcoating.
Do they pick other people up afterwards?
Oh, yeah, that's etiquette.
They better.
Well, I mean, sometimes they don't, man.
They give them bread and wine afterwards.
Two good questions. Also, do Christians do...
I'm sure they do.
Do you think they do?
I think the ones that have, like, the ones that are, like, they're mid-40s now and they wear bedazzled jeans and they're, like... Let me tell you about my life. Those, at one time, those people did a shit.
Or the preachers of mega churches.
Yeah. The preachers of mega churches totally did.
Like Kenneth Cole or something. I don't know if that's his name. But
there's no way.
Joel Osteen.
Yeah, Joel Osteen. There's no way that some of these guys that like lead these.
This motherfucker.
Yeah. Look, he's got in his teeth right now.
Look at that guy.
Yeah, dude. He is so out of his mind. I have a bone to pick with mega churches, like with Olsteen or Copeland.
Well, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, Christianity is fucking sick. But then you like drag a whole bunch of money into it and you build these fucking, they're building churches that like rival fucking NFL stadiums.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this is not the purpose.
Right.
This is not the reason.
They collect the donations and it's like an hour long of like just music being played for the pan to get passed through the 16 like, floors.
No shit.
There's a lot of money in Christianity.
I know.
Say that. There's a lot of money in that.
Yeah, and that's why I think some of these bands float that line.
Well, I'm sure my members will talk about this, you know, better than I could, but there's this whole the schism thing in there where, you know, you have your real Christians versus your, you know, not, you know,
poser
real Christians. Yeah, and I'm just like, I can't tell the difference if I'm being honest. It's just like,
you're outside looking in.
Yeah.
So you're like,
man, I can't tell the difference.
These guys all like Jesus. They're all the same to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you wear like certain merch though? Do you wear like that NOTW any special?
Well, the Christian fest we played this past summer, there's a Swedish band called Hypocrisy, which we all listen to, and I was wearing one of their shirts, but I didn't like look closely in the logo. There's like an obvious pentagram in it, and then there's like 666 and upside down crosses on it, but they're like discreetly like really put there, and I was like,
that's aggressive for a Christian concert.
Turn this shirt inside out.
It's like, yeah, oops.
That's aggressive. But it's also funny when you hear about like bands like Under Oath is not a good example because their lyrics actually are very, very Christian. But there are some black Christian bands out there, like black metal Christian bands that are like, kill your father, kill your mother. Like, and I just wonder how they get away with it. Like, how are they deemed a Christian band when they're talking about like genocide?
That's something I can't fully answer because I'm just like, I don't know. Because maybe I know there's a band called black metal Christian band called Antester, and they talk about, you know, the darker parts of Christianity,
that, revelations essentially.
Oh well, yeah, but like life experiences, you know, dark life experiences, you know, suicides and all that, and they talk about that, and a lot of people I see them deem as, and like, oh, you're not Christian, there's this whole like secular thing, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't really pay attention to lyrics, so I can't really talk.
They should write
a
black metal song about Job.
That'd be fucking hot, dude.
Right,
that would be fucking hot. Also, on the religion stand, do you think you could ever see yourself confiding to not even Christianity, but just a religion in general? Because as much as I know you, or as much as we've talked in the last three pods that we've done,
we've talked outside
the pod as well. But like, as much as I know you personally, do you think you could ever see yourself confiding in a religion? Is there a religion out there that makes sense to you enough to where you're like, well, I'm really like on the Buddhism or whatever?
Actually, that one in particular.
Buddhism?
Buddhism, I practice a lot of, I would say, you know, more influences from Buddhism as well. And when it comes to religion, I honestly believe it's all one and the same. If you ask me what's the definition of Satan, for me, it's just like, oh, Satan, it's just a figure for vanity. Everybody's upset, you know, what was Satan, you know, the God's prettiest angel, like
Lucifer.
He was the most beautiful one. And what happens when you pursue beautiful things for lust? Bad shit happens.
100%.
You're motivated by your ego. You're motivated by the lust and the feeling of, and the power that you get from that vanity.
Yeah.
And you pursue it and you become miserable because it bites you back.
Right. That big booty bitch is now getting child support.
And I feel like Jesus, you know, is the complete opposite of that, the path of, you know, the most resistance, the path where it's going to make you a better person, and the hard path, the good path. And I feel like that's to me, that's the culmination. That's yin and yang. You know, that's just that. It's just the same story, but just told in a different way.
What about Buddhism draws you in?
I love the reincarnation aspect of it, and the fact that Buddhism doesn't even say, you know, he's a god. It's just like, I'm like you. There's this I do believe there is something out there, and we can tap into it. Not only that, but I read a book about your brain and the pineal gland. When you die, it takes 48 days, for your soul to go back into a body. And when when the sperm hits the egg, it takes 48 days for your pineal gland to develop. And this was something that we just learned in the past 30 years. And the Buddhists were just like, yeah, it takes 48 days for the soul to come back. And I'm just like, whoa, holy shit.
They're on it.
That makes too much sense.
They're in it.
And not only that, but with Buddhism, they talk about reincarnation. There's a Tibet Book of the Dead. Not only that, but what you do in this life echoes in, what you do echoes in eternity.
Yeah.
I also believe that. So it's just like when you're dead and you're floating around, you're like, oh my God, I'm dead. It's like when something traumatic in your life happens, you try to cling to something to ground you. And sometimes when you try to cling to something, it's what you shouldn't be clinging to. You should be like facing it head on.
Yeah.
Going through those emotions, centering yourself, making good decisions. And when you're dead and you die a frantic death, you're just like, and you just try to reincarnate to the quickest body you can. Chances are it's probably a shitty body that you didn't really,
fucking turtle or something on the side of the road.
Exactly. Yeah. It's probably just like, oh, you didn't like actually, gather your soul and then, make a conscious decision to like, okay, I'm ready to go back into reality.
I hope Drew comes back as a beautiful blackfish.
A blackfish.
No, we talked about this.
Like an orca.
We talked about this a couple pods ago. Drew has a fascination with orcas, and I'm not saying this like to belittle. I don't mean it like that. Sounded belittling, but orcas are beautiful fish, and it's one of Drew's passion animals. Mine is clearly the wombat.
Yeah, you said that last time, I think.
which we've not covered in a while. So maybe pay attention coming up in a future episode. We'll do a quick wombat update. I like that the point where you were like, what you do in this life echoes into the universe, and like how you orchestrate yourself now kind of helps hone you into. And we've talked a little bit about Buddhism with. Who was it?
Jody.
Yeah, Jody. And then Jody Murtha. And then also Regzo just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We didn't talk so much. Regzo wasn't the main person we were interviewing. We were interviewing T Predicate. Shout out. But Regzo was there. But he's big into Buddhism. And it's a fascinating religion. It is, because it's just like some dude who used to eat carbs a lot. He's like, I'm just big.
I don't think Buddha was actually big.
I don't think initially he was actually depicted as a Batman.
Okay, so I stand corrected. But
yeah, that is the popular.
But he's just a very regular guy.
Look at this jolly fuck.
Is the Dalai Lama
Buddhist?
He looks
healthy as shit.
No, he's Hindu. He's Hindu.
Don't tell me this motherfucker didn't like carbs. I stand corrected as I stood corrected before. I go back to my original stance. This motherfucker likes some carbs. But what I'm getting at is he's just a very regular guy. He didn't portray himself as a speaker of. Or what's the term that they call
a prophet?
Yeah, he didn't claim to be a prophet.
He essentially, I feel like Buddha was what we all are capable of being.
Achievable.
It's very achievable, but not only that, but
and positive.
Yes, very
achievable and positive.
And everything is. It also teaches you that everything bad, good, evil, everything is kind of irrelevant. Of that, there's really. No such thing as evil. Everybody's just making things. Everything's existing all at once.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to react to it.
We're just trying to make it work.
Yeah,
dude.
Exactly. It's how you react to situations.
Yeah.
That determines the outcome of anything.
So in the last 2 years, do you think there's been any aspect of your music that's improved? Like personally?
Oh, yeah.
Like you've worked on?
Yeah.
What would be some of the examples?
I've gotten really good at, I don't want to say really good, but to my own standards, really good at producing. Better at songwriting, just overall more patient, with Forthright, I felt like I was forcing a lot of, parts of my brain that weren't natural. It felt very forced. With Symphony, it's a lot more easygoing.
Is it just because that's more of the genre?
It's more my style. Yes. and it's more relaxed. You know, with making the Forthright record when I was, you know, taking the production hell of it. That was my first go at it, and I had X amount of tools, and you know, when I was sending stuff to the guys, they'd be like, "Oh, this isn't good enough," and it fucking was demeaning to me. And I wouldn't say demeaning, but it just felt like, you know, it's like, "Fuck, nothing's good enough. Fuck." And then this time around, when I was sending stuff to the guys, they're like, "Oh my god, this is amazing." So it's just like, "Oh, but thank you. Went through a lot of hell to get to this good."
Right.
There is something to be said about that, though.
That's like going to the gym.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think the three of us are a pretty critical group of one another. Drew can tell me when I'm being a doucher, mm-hmm. or Tom can tell Drew when his hair doesn't look great. And we all kind of take it with stride, I feel like. I don't know. But like, I feel like you almost need that. You almost need that person that can be like, "Hey, you're trash. Like this, you're normally good. This is trash."
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you think you get that from? Who's your main critic that you like drive from? You know what I mean?
What?
Because for the three of us, it's like I don't know. We're all three really nice to each other. But like also, sometimes Tom will be like, "Hey, tighten this up on the audio." And then sometimes I'll be like, "Hey, Tom, this video did this and this isn't normal." Or sometimes we're like, "Hey, Drew, fucking chill out on the orca shit," or whatever. You know what I mean?
I mean, you can be nice and not blow smoke up each other's asses.
Well,
that's the point I'm getting at. Who blows the least amount of smoke up your ass?
Band-wise?
No, or just in general. When you're like with this art that you're
like
creating.
Like when you're producing
your parents, your bandmates, like anybody.
The least amount of smoke up my ass?
Yeah, who's the hardest on you? That's like, "Hey, man, this is really, really good, but also, tighten the fuck up."
Probably,
you
know, my brother.
Really?
Yeah, my brother for sure.
Yeah, he gives you a lot of good criticism.
Yeah, a lot of good criticism. I mean, I love and hate my brother at the same time for that. But
does he produce as well?
Yeah, he does.
So he's been on that end of it too, where he's like, "Hey man, everything sounded great, but this is trash."
Yeah, okay, exactly. Sick. He's not scared to tell you.
That's important, man. That's very, very important. I really do feel like when you look at like dynasties of like, I relate to sports teams, but like when you look at dynasties of sports teams or great racers, because you're an F1 fan, that guy's coach treats him like shit. Because it's like, he treats him great when he does great, but then also when he fucks up, it's like, "Hey, fucking suck my you fucked up. Yeah. Like, here's what's wrong."
That's,
you know what I mean? Like, you need that.
That's Max Verstappen in the F1 world right now.
Exactly.
And that's why he's world champion right now.
Exactly. His coach his coach is fucking two knuckles deep in his butthole.
Yeah, his dad, actually.
Yeah. Exactly. Dude. Is his dad his coach?
Yeah.
He's still a big fan of the Red Bull Racing team?
That's what he's on. I do like Red Bull, yes, but they are stupid dominant right now. Absolutely stupid dominant, to where it's kind of boring. So there's other teams where I'm like focusing on now, because I really like Williams right now.
Who's a good underdog right now?
Williams. I think Williams, because Williams had that F1 legacy where at one point they were one of the top teams, and then their owner became, you know, he became
Jesus.
Accident happened. He became, you know, paralyzed.
Oh,
and,
shit.
Well, not only that, but you know. He thought the old ways of thinking would like translate into like modern ways, when F1 is a very technologically advanced sport, and he brought this old mentality into this new world, and then they just fell off, and then now they have this guy who's bringing it back, and it's just like, "Oh, that's exciting. They're actually doing good." So
yeah.
I like underdogs.
You think there's performance enhancing drugs in like racing?
Yeah, what can your mechanic get away with that they won't see?
Adderall?
No. I wouldn't say performance enhancing physically. It's more or less the cars. Like what can there's certain, you know, boundaries that you can do with, you know, certain specifications your car has to
parameters,
be. Yeah, parameters that your car has to be. So it's like, okay, who on your team can design something that'll make it go faster, but you know, the FIA won't notice. That's the whole point
of it.
Yeah.
What about for drivers though? Do you
for
think
drivers,
there's PEDs the, for drivers?
I don't know. Just a
Do they wear like spacesuits when they pee and like goes outside the car?
I don't know. I think they just piss in the car, honestly. Right. Like, but like as far as cheating, I just think a shit ton of caffeine.
I would have just searched PEDs. There you go. Okay. Although there have been no official positive tests for performance enhancing drugs in Formula One, some drivers have reportedly used
Takrin?
Yeah, Takrin, a drug designed to treat fucking Alzheimer's. To improve their visual memory when memorizing complex circuits, although Takrin's effects are beneficial, blah, blah, blah.
That makes sense.
It's legal to use.
Is there a limit in F1 racing, though? So, like in NASCAR, they can only go, like, 220 miles an hour, and they can't go faster than that. Is there a limit like that in F1 racing?
No. The limit is just that you have certain specifications. It's what you can do within the specifications to cheat.
Right. It's the courses that hinder you.
Yeah.
So I imagine, because the courses, you look at NASCAR, it's usually a big loop.
Always.
There are some where they're a little more complex. There's multiple turns and stuff, but they slow down quite a bit during those races. These F1 races, almost all of their circuits are like that. Complex curves, turns, twists, tight ends, like
you don't have time to blink.
You're not going 220 miles an hour when you're doing a fucking 90 degree fucking hairpin or a 135 degree hairpin. You don't have time to go 230.
F1 cars are basically fighter jets on wheels. That's literally what they are.
They're intense.
Like the G forces would break, you know, a normal person's neck if they're driving them.
I mean, I could probably do it, but
you could do one lap and then we would die. A normal person would die.
Honestly, I think I would be a good F1 driver. Just throwing that out there. Kind of an athlete. I feel like I could withstand a lot of G-forces, but that's just me. I'm just throwing that out there. So in this wild trip, switching over to this new band, have you seen any, or would you have any advice for somebody that's like transitioning from one project to another, almost multitasking but really not, you know what I mean? Like
be fucking confident in yourself. Like that's the best, because when you leave a project for another project, you're always gonna have that like shoulda coulda wouldas.
Yeah,
it's like, yes, do I miss Forthright in some ways? Of course, yes. You know, they look happy, and it's like seeing an ex with, you know, another boyfriend or girlfriend. You're just like, oh, that, you know, it's not the greatest feeling ever, but you know, like if you love them, you gotta, you know, as they say, if you love them, you gotta let them be. But at the same time, you fucking work on yourself and you make sure this decision is what you want. Not saying it's going to work out every time, but when you leave it, you have to just be confident. You have to know what you're going to do. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Just be like, fuck it. I did it for experience. Yeah. I did it to try to grow as myself. You know, I did it to try to grow.
Yeah.
So don't second guess yourself. Just fucking do it.
Be confident.
Yeah.
Was there a time where you second guessed that decision?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, there was times because, you know, having all that history with Forthright, building it up from the ground up, being a part of that. Yeah. You know, it was hard leaving it. There's times I still was, you know, I wish I was in it. But at the same time, the times I wasn't having the greatest times didn't outweigh the fun 30 minutes on stage,
right?
Like all the BS behind it. And I was just like, it's life, you know. I wish them the best. They look like they're doing good.
I think they're doing really well.
I'm doing fine. They're doing fine. We're all doing fine.
Yeah,
that's really it.
Is there this?
I mean, don't get me wrong. The new guitar player is good, but doesn't have hair like me. You know?
Is there? That's a jab, motherfuckers.
Doesn't have hair like me.
No, I'm joking. You have beautiful hair. So is there like this stigma? Because so like in, I like comedy a lot. Like a lot. Like comedy is my gig for sure. Like if I had the balls to do it, I would do comedy.
You should.
I won't ever, just so we're clear. Pussy. But I'm a bit we talked about this like 3 episodes ago. I'm a huge pussy. But like in comedy, there's this weird shtick where like comedians will like jab at one another, almost kind of bite at one another.
Mm-hmm.
They're not groups, so it's not necessarily the same thing, but if you treat an individual comedian almost as a music group and then treat another comedian as like its own musical group, they kind of like bite at each other and they kind of like, they almost kind of treat each other like shit because it's always about like, who's getting this gig, who's getting this money, who's going here, who's going there, who's doing this podcast, who's doing that show. Do you see that with like bands?
Oh yeah. You're always competing. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, if you're in a band, you're competing with other bands. There's like yeah, you can have that mentality like, oh, we're in together, we're making music. True, but you want to steal the fucking show. That's just how it is. That's how comedians are. You want to steal the fucking show.
Yeah.
Yes, your friend. It's like when a comedian writes a joke and you hear that all the comedians say, oh, why didn't I think of that joke?
Yeah.
It's like when you see another band perform a song and they're just why didn't I write that?
Yeah.
Or why don't we have our shit together like that on stage? You're always competing against each other because you want to win.
Yeah.
So you take notes from other people.
Oh, you take notes from other people. And then when your bandmates don't, you know, do good of a job, you're like, hey, like, I'm pouring my soul into this. So should you.
Right. You're giving it your all, so yeah, they should as well.
Exactly.
Are you good over there?
Yeah. Did you know he wanted me to hold his hand during the football game?
Hold his hand?
Yeah, and then he called me a f*** for not holding his hand.
What, are you scared? You scared to hold a man's hand, Thomas?
I held his hand, but then he called me a f*** when I tried to get my e-cig out of my hand. Like, at least let me get a solid palm-on-palm hand-holding.
God, dude, that's getting bleeped so fucking hard. Oh, God damn it, I hate you. But also, thanks for holding my hand earlier.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Dude, it was a tight-ass game.
I came back.
Dolphins.
Also, yes, for our listeners to know, the next 18 episodes is Toxic Brian.
Dude, we're going to the playoffs, so it's going to be like 23 episodes.
23 episodes of intoxicated.
So, I think I've contained myself pretty good tonight, though.
Sure.
You're the one that said, not me.
Yeah, on air. You said it earlier.
These are getting bleeped. So, dude, in this wild ride, switching from Forthright to Symphony of Heaven, Symphony.
Well, have you ever done anything crazy before you get there? Like, so I watched this concert one time where like the guitarist put his guitar up and the drummer was playing the drums, but then also hitting the strings as the guitarist was, you know, fingering the strings.
That's hot.
Like, have you guys like toyed around with anything like that?
All right, what's your craziest in live show trick or like
Climbing off a speaker?
You know what I mean? Get the people going type shit. Do you have something like that?
I whip my hair.
You're whipping the hair?
They know what's up.
Is that like a metal band need?
Yeah, not while drummer's bald, unfortunately. No, we don't have it.
What are you saying about bald people, dude? First off,
he's saying that like if you're in a band, get a wig and a hat. That way you can still.
Would you respect me if I was in a metal band with a wig?
Yeah.
Take it off every concert and throw it out into the crowd. Exactly. It'd be a hit.
It's like a weave. Just fucking ripping that bitch off.
There is this guy, this guitar player named Michelangelo Badio, and he's bald and he clearly uses.
I know Michelangelo.
Yeah. The painter.
Yeah.
He clearly uses a wig. And it's a god awful. It has bangs on it, and I'm just like, whew.
We're talking about the same person, right?
Michelangelo Badio, guitar player.
Yeah, Michelangelo.
Yeah,
the guitarist.
Yeah,
he's crazy talented.
He has a wig. That's a wig.
I haven't seen him in probably a decade. Back when I was big into music, will you look up a picture of Michelangelo?
Yeah.
What is it?
Badio. That's a wig, though.
I gotta know what he looks like now because. This guy is like his name does not precede him. Like he is Michelangelo is the perfect name for him. He's very good at guitar. He's very, very talented.
Yeah. See, look at that reaction. That's a wig.
Oh man.
It looks like his 4-year old tried to give him a Karen cut.
That guitar is hot. Looks like some spread legs.
Dude, that is my gay aunt Karen. That's
how do you strum that shit?
I don't know.
Are they different? Like,
that's a bummer.
No, he plays with the right and the left.
He's very talented though, right?
Extremely talented.
Yeah, he's a
crazy.
He is like if you could. He's a grown ass man now. 10 years ago, when I learned about him, he was still maybe in his 30s. But like.
He said he's 67.
God,
so
damn,
he was 57.
Ugh. All right. Maybe it was longer than 10 years ago. Maybe I was in high school. Maybe it was 20 years ago. I don't know. But like, I remember learning about him and he was just a freak. 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 Like, what's that band? Dragon Force?
Yeah.
On that level. Freak. Mm-hmm. Freak at guitar.
Very good.
And very, very talented. And he had like a YouTube channel and everything, which I'm sure he still has.
He still does. Yeah, he still does have a YouTube channel.
Very, very talented.
Mm-hmm.
So do you learn a lot from like his YouTube channel or other people?
I learn a lot from other people's YouTube channels, not his in particular.
His is like a showboaty.
How much do you think you're still like learning on YouTube? Like how much are you YouTubing for research, you think?
Every day. Every day. Yes. YouTube University.
Especially with production. Mm-hmm. I know from the podcast because I post produce everything in the podcast.
So you know how it works.
Yeah. When it's like, man, this sounds weird. I know I can get rid of this, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube.
And then, you're running Logic, so I'm sure there's a bunch of
it's trash.
Logic forums.
It's trash. Yeah. It's trash. Yeah. Heads up. If you're starting a podcast, don't do Logic.
get Pro Tools and pay that overpriced subscription. Yeah. There you go. Get that.
Back to the topic of fucking crazy guitars. This is too many strings, right?
Eight string.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking at it earlier, like counting them. Like, what the fuck?
Like how you're doing shorthand math while we're having a podcast. You're also one, that's two, three, that's four, five.
Eight string guitar right there.
So what is
Is there a way that you can get a guitar to where you can play bass on the top half and then like guitar on the bottom?
Yeah, a couple $1,000, somebody will build it for you.
Yeah, well, are you going to get it built?
Maybe one day when I have the money. Or when Symphony take. Well, actually, since we don't have a bass player right now, just.
Right.
Take a dip in the Ohio River, grow two extra arms, be the bass and guitar player at the same time.
Right. Fucking you Tyler could, 10 over there.
You could catch a catfish while you're in there.
Exactly.
What's the
or get catfished,
That's true.
Yeah, what's you get barbed and die.
Mm-hmm. Steve Irwin.
Shout out to like three episodes ago. Hey, what's the biggest difference between bass guitar and guitar? Like just a regular guitar.
They're instruments.
Well, that's correct.
They're different class.
But usually...
Bass has a longer neck, thicker strings. Guitar, shorter neck, thinner strings.
They make different notes. Obviously, the bass...
They make same notes.
Well, the bass holds like the rhythm for the song, right?
Yeah. You can also play bass like with your fingers mainly.
Yeah, it's more like finger picking as opposed to strumming on guitar, you can finger pick on guitar, but...
I would be so bad at bass then.
No,
I'm terrible at finger picking. But on bass, the strings are farther apart, and there's only four of them. So
four or five, or six.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now it's just a guitar. What the fuck?
Settle Down, Buried Alive. Have you seen those guys?
Yeah.
Fucking intense, dude. Didn't they do like a six string bass?
They had a custom bass, man.
Yeah, custom six string bass.
Kill switch and all kinds of stuff.
Fucking sick. They have like a 12 string guitar. It's fucking intense, dude. Or no, it was like 16 strings. It was ridiculous. The neck on it was like this wide.
I've seen that.
Yeah, and then they buried it in the sand. I saw that
video. I've seen that video. Yep,
on the beach?
Yep.
So fucking hot. Seen that video. Oh, it's so fucking hot. Through this journey of switching from one band to another, and you've made the leap, I would say...
A leap of faith.
I would say the leap has been valiant. You know what I mean?
So far.
So what are some of the dark roads you've had to travel from switching from one to another? Like, have you had a dark moment where you were like or something, and then also then what pulled you through that hiccup that you were having?
Well, the dark moment was even right now, doing the EP stuff, writing the EP. It's very like somewhat PTSD from Forthright, doing all that stuff. And but what pulled me out was just the transparency, being open with these guys. The fact that these guys, I talk to them every day, and they're very, reassuring people. It's like, hey, we're all going to be good. And that overthinking that I always end up doing that, I don't want to experience what I went through, back then. And, it's the nice reassurance. It's that dark moment of like, okay, I'm about to do this EP. It's going to be intense.
They're Christian,
but it's gonna be worth it.
They're Christian, so it's gotta help.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're fucking super polite.
Give those motivational, like biblical quotes.
Yeah,
it does help.
They're like John 13:16, "Thou shalt not fucking mow thy neighbor's lawn."
That's
whatever you get off. It
verbatim. That's what it says in the Bible.
Google it, because fucking Drew.
Thou shalt not fucking mow thy neighbor's lawn.
Thou shalt not mow thy neighbor's
lawn.
Don't
come at me with your biblical bullshit, dude. No, man, I respect the fuck out of you. It does take a certain amount of confidence and will to leave something that you've built and that you're comfortable with, and then go into this totally new thing that's already built and then be uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, that's how you grow.
Yeah, it's being uncomfortable.
That's how you grow.
And that's why you go to the gym. That's why you do the things that you do. You make yourself uncomfortable, and that's good. That's a good. That's good.
It's the theme for this summer for me has been humble pie. I've gotten humbled quite a bit this summer, and
that's good.
I'm learning a lot. That's good. You know, dark night of the soul for me this summer, but we're approaching the other side.
Also, a good film. We're good. Good film, yes. Dark Knight. So you just watched it the other day.
Yeah.
No, but I really, there's something to be said about that. And I think that you're an extraordinary character for having done what you've done so far.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Seriously, like I'm very, very impressed that you've not just switched bands, but you're like progressing. You're like, you're growing, and that's important. So I'm very, very impressed by that. I don't have any more questions. Drew, do you have any questions or a last second? Dude?
No.
You guys want to put a bow on it? Tom, you got any last second questions? What was that, dude? You like panicked on the mic?
Are
you
okay? No, I like looked over and then like the fridge cut out and it went like extra silent and I was like, damn, this is even more on the spot.
Yeah, dude, fucking nut up or shut up. This has been another thrilling episode of the Days Grimm. My name is Brian Michael Day.
My name is Thomas Grimm.
I'm Drew Head.
Tighten up. Get tighter on his name. When he says it, you sit. I'm joking.
Do it again. From the top.
My name is Brian Michael Day.
My name is Thomas Grimm.
I'm Drew Head.
This has been Tyler Brown.
Look how tight that was. This is another thrilling episode of the Days Grimm. Thank you guys so much. And thank you, Tyler. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
God, you crushed it. Dude, that last one was good. That last one was great. Go ahead. Your show.
Hey guys, if you liked what you heard today, there will be a new episode next Tuesday, as well as every Tuesday at 6 a.m. So hit that subscribe button and let your phone do all the work for you.
Go short. Is he all right? What is he doing now? He's just totally retired. He's not working.